This podcast is brought to you by LearnMyCraft.com. Now, we've all experienced the frustration of not having enough time to practice your art. So whether you're a total beginner or an experienced artist, LearnMyCraft has got you covered. With easy-to-follow tutorials using coloured pencils and pan pastels, you can level up your animal art skills today in as little as 45 minutes. Make practice fun and easy again at LearnMyCraft.com. Welcome to the Animal Art Podcast. Today we have a really special episode for you and something a little different. I'm thrilled to be joined by the team from Schmincke. Founded in 1881, Schmincke has been creating the finest artist colours for over 140 years, and today we are chatting about all things pastels. If you work in pastels or you're thinking about trying pastels out for the first time, this episode is going to be invaluable to you. We break down everything artists need to know about pastels, from what they even are, to how to blend, how to store them, and so much more. The team from Schmincke have been so generous with their time and sharing their expertise. I learned so much from this conversation and came away so inspired to try new techniques in my work. So if you're looking to enhance your pastel work, learn from the best in the industry, and hear directly from the experts at Schmincke, you're going to love this episode. Welcome to the Animal Art Podcast. I'd love for you to introduce yourselves and tell me a bit about Schmincke.
Well, yeah, my name is Niels Knappi. I'm the Managing Director of Schmincke. And that's Claudia.
I'm in the lab and responsible for watercolors and for pastels.
And then also with us, just not in the picture, but it's Suzanne. She's from the marketing.
Hello, Suzanne.
Good morning.
Wonderful. So tell me more about the Schmincke brand itself.
So Schmincke, you know, Schmincke is a very old brand, a traditional old brand, actually. Schmincke was founded in 1881, so more than 140 years ago, by two chemists, Mr. Horridam and Mr. Schmincke. And they were both chemists and working with pastels here and there, ultramarine pigments. And then they got to know about old recipes of resin oil color at that time. You know, the tube for colors was invented in the, let's say, mid-19th century. And an artist, when they worked a lot with the resin oil colors at that time, because of their drying properties, but it seemed that they sort of going away. And they found a professor in Florence, in Firenze, and who still had these old recipes. And in 1879, when he died, they bought all the recipes, these old recipes from his son, who inherited all everything. And that is how our company started, with resin oil colors. So that was the first product. It's called Mussini, because Professor Mussini was the inventor. And and these colors you can still buy today. One of the oldest oil colors in the market.
That's amazing.
And the only, actually the worldwide only resin oil color. So that is how everything started. And then on the other side, Mr. Horridam, the second founder, who was a passionate watercolor painter, invented our watercolors. It took him about 10 years, and he got several patents for it in Europe at that time. And so he invented our Horridam watercolors. So another major product for our line, and he brought it out in 1892. And still today, Horridam is actually our major product in our line.
Oh, wow.
So the reputation of Schmincke was built then over the many centuries through the quality of all the products that then followed, like gouache, liner print, special colors, and then, of course, the pastels. And the pastels came in round about in the 1920s. And today, the pastels have like 400 colors. In the beginning.
Wow, 400. That's 400, amazing.
400 shades. And in the beginning, when they started at a certain time, it was like in the 30s, 40s, it even had 700.
Wow.
Can you imagine a line?
No, I can't imagine what 700 colors would look like.
So that is product wise, a little bit the history over the centuries. Mm-hmm. And of course, there were different products that we added to the lines. And at the end of the day, this company is a family-owned company.
Mm-hmm. So That's wonderful.
Mr. Horam and Mr. Schminke, who founded this company, didn't have kids, no successors. But Mr. Horam had a nephew. Mm-hmm. And he was a very famous chemist, too. And Mr. Hesse, it's called Julius Hesse, second generation in the company. And then he took over when both of them died, passed away. He took over. And then his family sort of came into the company. Mm-hmm. And over the many years, his son and his grandson, and grandson in the fourth generation, over the time took over until 1996, where the last in the family, Peter Hesse, still alive, is 87 today, still alive, decided to retire for several reasons. He has a foundation and also for health reasons. And then they had to make a decision for the company how to continue. Mm-hmm. All of them, all the kids didn't have a successor, children. Mm. So there were two choices. Either bring someone in who's managing the company or selling the company. So they decided for the first week. Mm-hmm. So that's how I came in. At the end of 96 and beginning 97, and I was, after like 130 years in the company, I was the first manager from outside the family, coming in, taking over. So I'm sort of representing a fifth generation in the company.
Yes, that's amazing.
And I'm going to retire at the end of the year, passing mm-hmm. on to my colleague, Marcus Bongert, who's 10 years younger than me. So mm-hmm. he still has some years to go. Mm-hmm. So that's a major thing for a company like Schminke, like a lot of companies, you know, the transition, succession in a company.
Yeah.
So from the first day on, the philosophy at Schminke was we want to create the best quality. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, the founder's philosophy. And they sort of pass it on to every generation.
Yeah,
we don't want to do everything, but what we do want to do best or as mm-hmm. good as possible. Let's put it this way.
Yeah,
and this is still the philosophy today. So over the many years, we have concentrated on what we can do best, and that is producing colors. You know, mm-hmm. and we want to control the quality process of our products, and mm-hmm. so we could imagine to do. To sell other products, which we did actually in the past. So we sold canvas, we sold easels, we sold all kinds of products that we distributed.
Yeah.
About 20 years ago, mm-hmm. everything that was not an original product of Schminke.
We said,
well, this is a different business and maybe other people can do it better. Because it's our competence to trade products, where our core competence is to produce very good colors. And that is actually the philosophy throughout the last 143 years. Mm-hmm. And then oils and watercolors being the first products, you know, that sort of built the company and also the reputation of the company mm-hmm. Were added by the pastels. And the pastels, and you are a pastel painter, you said, and mm-hmm. you know there's so different kinds of pastels available. So there are polychrome pastels, hot pastels, there are soft pastels like ours. And, mm-hmm. And that is where our founders already in the 20s, actually 1920s, made the decision. Let's define the best quality and then let's try to achieve the best quality.
And
maybe that's not the volume markets, but that's what goes along with our philosophy. And
yes, of course.
Claudia can tell you a little bit later on what the specifics about the pastels are, you know, where the quality is defined. And but I just want to give you the it's part of our philosophy. And the pastels today sort of add to the watercolors and the oil colors in a line of quality products that actually are responsible for the reputation of our company and our brand today.
Yes. Oh, that's fantastic.
And we act like a medium-sized family company. We're about 90 people, 90 employees here in the company. Everything we produce here in Germany. We don't produce anywhere else. We only produce here in our headquarter close to Düsseldorf. And we have only one distribution here out from Düsseldorf. So for us, very important is made in Germany. You know,
yes,
controlling the quality process.
No, that's amazing to have it all in house. It's very useful that way. Yeah,
all in house. We're working on a premises here of 20,000 square meter. And could just buy a year ago, which is to buy the neighbor premises of another 10,000 square meters.
Okay.
So we can expand here in our location, which is great for us, which is great for the future of the company.
Yes, you don't have to move it now.
And so we are all our employees here in the company, you know, they are with us 10, 20, 30 years. You know,
that's
when they start
here,
a lot of employees, when they start, maybe after their university education or whatever, you know, they start and they stay. And, you know, in our room here, we are three of us. I'm with the company for 28 years. Susan is with the company for how many years?
26
years.
21.
And you're 21. Claudia, 21. And hopefully we don't look at this like this, but so for us, the success of the company is great quality in the product, whatever we do. But at least, at the end, it's the team effort. It's the people who stand behind this product, you know, with all the passion and with all the capacities they have, and and this team effort actually is the key for our success.
Yes. I really see it in the quality of your materials. Really beautiful.
This is a short update of, you know, who Schmincke is.
Yes.
And maybe let me finish with, we're all very proud and grateful to be able to work not only in a company like this, but also such a great product. Yeah. Isn't it great to produce something that everybody loves, everybody likes, and for people use to create new things, like paintings, you know. It's such a moment when you stand in front of a famous painting and you know this is painted without paint, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure that's incredibly fulfilling and just amazing to see.
So that's the Schmincke team, and we are just three of us here, but it's the 90 or 100 people behind this product
that
make the brand what it is today.
Definitely. Great. Oh, that's so amazing. That's so interesting to know. I love how family oriented the brand is. And of course, you know, it's all about the quality, because there's nothing worse for an artist to buy something and it just fall apart, or it's not as bright as you need it to be. And it's just not, the quality just isn't there. And it's just so, I guess, disheartening to try and create something from a terrible product. And there's so many cheaper brands and things out there at the moment. And it's just so nice to work with something that's just purely beautiful to work with.
And, you know, and then maybe when it comes also to the work in our lab, which is the heart of a company, it's one thing is to achieve the quality, you know, at a certain point. But you know, the hard part is to keep that quality long term. And this is what the lab is working on. Everybody, a lot of people think they invent every day, they invent new products or whatever. No, you know, a huge part of their work is to keep that quality on that high level.
Yes.
Which that's the big challenge, and that's why, you know, we have 5 people in the lab, 6 in the lab, and the lab also, the lab people like Claudia, they are with us also for many years. Combined, we would say at least 120 years or whatever. So great. So I'm passing on the, you know, to Claudia and to Suzanne.
Okay.
It was great talking to you.
Yes, thank you so much. It was very interesting. Thank you.
Have a good time. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. It was lovely to meet you. Hello, Suzanne. And Claudia. Yes, so please tell me, what even is a pastel and how do you go about making them?
What is a pastel?
Yes.
Pastels are just made from pigments. They're just some of them containing a very small amount of binder, because everything you would add which is not a pigment would influence the quality again. So there's no chalk in it, and it's mainly just the colored pigment. So base color, I think. This is the beginning of color.
What kind of pigments do you use? Like, do you try and go more natural through natural pigments? Or?
There are naturally ground earth in it, but most pigments are not natural pigments. This is also due to the light fastness. Many natural pigments which are organic are not so light fast, and we like our pastels to be light fast. So it's about 90% of them are 4 or 5 stars, so very huge amount which are very light fast. And you can achieve this with inorganic colors.
Okay.
We don't use cadmium colors in the pastels because of the dust, and to protect people from inhale it and so on. And this is a great part of the red and the yellow pigments, which we can't use there. So it's difficult to find enough pigments to have the pastels very bright and long-lived. So this is not, there are both of them, natural and artificial pigments.
Right. Oh, that's amazing. So how do you decide on, like, how do you create the colors? Like, how do you decide what colors to make?
There is a color space you have. Many possible colors. You can't even count how many colors there could be, and it's always one color is missing. This is, I think, this you paint, and this is just that color I need now. It's not there.
So yes, okay.
There are actually 400, but I think this is this is never enough. So. It's difficult to mix with pastel colors. So you only can mix them by smudging and wiping them to each other and so on. It's not like a watercolor. There you can go and have 12 colors, paint them, or mix them and have multiple new colors. But this is not possible with pastel colors. So there you need more. A bigger amount of different colored shades, and very small Unterschiede, differences in the shade. So it's like the ultramarine.
Yes.
Here. So this is all the same color, just lighter from. Always the most of our colors have 5 shades, and this is the base shade, the full shade,
Okay.
Then one darker shade with black in it and three lighter shades with increasing amount of white pigment in it.
Right. So like diluting it.
Yes. So you have a different series of colors of one full tone. So yeah, we tried to have the complete color space. Yeah, it has ausgefüllt.
Yeah, filled the complete color space, yeah, for the 400.
So this is, I think, you can see this. This is the, I don't know if you can see this.
Oh, yes, I can see, yeah. This color wheel.
Yeah, so this is the
distribution
of the single colors.
Okay.
It's nearly ausgeglichen.
Well balanced.
It's nearly balanced, so all shades are at the same amount. Well, just white, of course. It's just two.
Right. So those are your core colors, and then you add whites and blacks and things to create more colors from that.
You have the complete space fulfilled by some pigments of some pastels of our range, so you can just mix a little bit and get in each region of the
Okay, well, it's wonderful.
75 basic tones. Yes. And there are three in this graduation, so they have three white graduations and one black, so this is 75 and then three white, one black, so you have a huge amount. And then we have some more special tones, dark tones, a gray shade, a big 10 colors
with colors.
Gray, different grays. So this is then roundabout. This is
some pearl colors and some
metallic.
And
in total, this is 400.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. What's the most popular color?
The most popular color, I would say. This is ultramarine always, and white.
Yeah.
This is, but I think this is for watercolor, for acrylic color, and so this is everywhere.
Okay, that's very interesting, because I do use ultramarine quite a lot, but I feel like I wouldn't say it's my most popular color. Definitely white as well. But yeah, that's very interesting.
And so on, but I think overall in our sale, it's I think it's ultramarine and white. Above all, white.
And because, you know, the company is so old, like, how have the colors changed over time? Like, have they tried to fit with trends, or have you always tried to just keep the colors that you always produce in house?
The philosophy is with us normally to protect our series, to have always the same colors, and like Niels said, very high part, big part of our work is to keep the colors like they are, even if there is ingredients that is not longer available, or something is not in the moment, not in sale and so on, and we can't get it, so we have to find some other things or ways to maintain
the assortment.
Yes, and to have the shade and the behavior the same.
Yeah, so like changes in the color. They rely on always the same color.
And this is just for the pastel. This is for all colors. So like Niels said, it's the Fordham series is from 1890 and there are actually some colors remaining until today, like they
were.
So we try to have the colors very traditional, very very straight, all the so
very consistent,
not often special shades or some very new things and so on. It's very reliable and traditional and not so fancy. I think
yes. No, but that is very helpful, like from an artist's perspective, to always know that you'll have that color that you need all the time, and you're not going to go changing Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. So can you tell me more about light fastness for those also who don't know about what light fastness is?
Light fastness is a pigment property. Have not many chances to change it. And also many companies say, yeah, you can get this spray and spray it on anything and then it's light fast. No, this is not possible. This is urban legend. No, this is not there. You have to choose the pigments for their light fastness. This is
right.
Not possible to add. We would like to have always 5 stars, of course. And but this is not always possible. As I said before, cadmium, for example, are very, very light fast, but they have also the problem that you can't use them everywhere.
Right.
Or the yellows and reds, which are organic origin, are not so light fast. And so you have to choose very, very good to achieve high light fastness. But this is not something I can do in it and then it's light fast, or somebody has left it and then it's not light fast or something like this.
Right. It's all from the pigment itself that you choose.
Yes. And the additional ingredients also. If you have a binder and so on, this is not important for the pastels with us, but for other colors, this is also the binder. It can also be not light fast or get disturbed over time and so on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very interesting. Yeah. And where does the brand fall on like the hardness rating compared with other soft pastels?
Yeah, soft pastel is not a standard word. There is no norm behind this. So you can't say if a pastel behaves like this, this is a soft pastel. Everybody can call his pastel. So you can't rely only on the name.
Yes. Okay.
If you get,
I think you do say you have yours is extra soft. So,
but you can say super soft.
Yeah.
And so on. It's a word. It's no norm behind this, and you can call it what you want. And if you compare different soft pastel, you will definitely find differences in the hard.
Yes.
So we try to have them all very soft, which is also an advantage because pigments are also very hard.
Right.
So it's the blending of the different pigments to achieve the softness. But if you are using our pastel, then you know some of them are not so extremely soft like other ones. So you can't change this because this is property of the pigment.
Of the pigments, yes. Okay, I understand. That's very interesting.
And you can influence it, but you can't get it off completely.
Mm-hmm. We can also mention the part with the chalk. We do not use any chalk in the recipes. And chalk makes pastels harder.
So if you wanted to make a harder pastel, you would add more chalk then.
Yeah, and the point is we have a pastel manufacturer, though all pastels are made by hand and are labeled by hand and dried by air, and this is pure pastel, and the softness depends, as Claudia said, on the pigment softness, but we didn't add any chalk. It would be much easier to use chalk for the production process, but we do that, and so they are. This is the point of softness of.
We have now the advantage to put them into the paper because they are very, very.
They crack very, very, very easily as they are so soft.
So this is on the other.
Yeah, they're very soft.
Softness.
The problem.
Okay.
Chalk would make them easier to handle, but without chalk, it is better to paint, and you have the most soft pastel.
I think everybody knows. The older one of us knows the chalk pastel from blackboard from school, and this is chalk. It's very hard.
Yeah, and this is why we always say we do not use any chalk in our pastels. This is the important point together with the lightfastness.
And also a binder, addition of binder would also make them harder, and you get harder particles in it, not just the whole stick, but some points in it will get hard. And you would have it in your painting then. You have a stroke and then you have a break and then you have a stroke again and so on. And
I see, yeah.
To avoid this. So there's,
yes,
normally there's no binder in it, and some of the pigments need some binder, but it's very, very low amount. Yeah.
Yes. Is that how you make it so soft then? Because there's not really much binder at all.
Yes.
You paint with the origin of color as you paint directly with a pure pigment. So this is special feeling with our pastels.
Yes. Oh, wonderful. So because they're so soft, how do you suggest artists store them then? Like, what's the best way to store them, especially like, you know, humidity wise or environmentally wise?
The easiest way is to have it in a box like this one or that one,
yeah,
where they lie individual in one row
rather than touching.
Yes. I know that many people get the pestle and put the paper off again immediately if they are using them. This is also possible and no problem if you have them in this case. If you have parts, small pieces broken or something like this here,
yeah,
you can store it in a dry rice. You have a screw?
A jar with dry rice.
Mom,
oh, okay.
A jar or something
to
like this.
Humidity.
Unboiled dry rice in it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can. This is important. And
yes.
Then you put the small bits. Yes. I think assorted with a color, a blue jar, a red jar, a yellow.
Yes. Okay.
Put this in, and they will stay very clean. All the single bits, because the rice will polish them a little bit.
Yes. Okay. Oh, that's very interesting. Very helpful. Thank you.
And you can use all tiny parts of each pestle, or even the dust you can use, so there's no waste. I think this is very
good
for the pestles. This is not.
Yes. So what's your favorite tools and things do you suggest using with them? Like, you know, just your finger, or are there specific sponges that you like to see with your pastels? Or
I don't like to see the finger with the pastel.
Yep, okay.
Because it's artist color.
Yeah.
So many people, I know this, many people working with their hands, directly with a color and with their hands to have the feeling, to have their creativity directly into the painting and into the color and so on. This is also very good, but you have to have in mind immediately washing your hands and so on. And it's dust, so you have it in your skin. I would always recommend to use cotton buds brushes. There are pestle brushes, very good pestle brushes, and there are also the possibility to have cosmetic tools to use this for your
I do use those, yeah.
For foundation and so on, different forms, and so very very soft and very
not so very
expensive like many artist tools would be.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
very easy to use and even easy to clean. So
mm-hmm.
you can wear gloves.
Yes.
Mm.
Difficult.
Yeah.
So of course I know very many people will use their fingers. This is not a problem. There is no health problem and so on, but you're going out, you're eating something and so on. I don't think this should be like this. But of course this is no problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Lab point, yes.
Yes, of course.
Artists probably don't care.
No.
No, honestly, like, you just touch anything in a studio and you're already messy. So you have to always wash your hands when you leave your studio anyway.
it's a little bit messy. So it's not like a watercolor.
I think because they're so soft as well, they do. I was trying them out again last night. And when you do pick them up, you do immediately.
Yeah.
Get it on your hands. Just straight away.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. But no, they're so buttery, I think. I think buttery or creamy is a nice way to explain how it goes on to. I was using it on pastel mat. And I was wondering, from your point of view, like, what do you think is the best surface? Or, like, you know, how much does a roll does surface play in using your pastels?
The best way the classic way is to have those the papier, which I don't like at all. I think they are incredible, unusable, and they're the best ones are with a rough surface. And yes, I think it should be artist quality, and it should be a rough surface, and you should know what you want to do with it. If you have to if you just need two layers or something like this, there should not be too rough. So it's also possible to use a rough watercolor paper if you have just one or two layers. But if you're layering a lot and using a lot of color and having lots of pigment on your paper or on your underground, so there you have to have higher roughness. And the pastel mat is one of them. And many surfaces are useful for this. We have also a pastel ground, this is the pastel ground.
Okay.
And
so you paint that on the surface first.
Yes.
You can use it on canvas.
Any cardboard and so on. And you have to have a certain thickness of the support. But this is acrylic based, so you can use it on anything like a grease-free surface, wood, canvas, cardboard, and so on. So you can change anything into a pastel surface, and you can also tint this with acrylic colors.
Mm-hmm.
You have a colored underground, which I think is a good idea always, because you can paint with pastels, you can paint on colored supports.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have strategic underground, like you want to have a cool
atmosphere
in it. You start with a bluish underground and paint on it, and you can also spare some of your pastels because you have already a colored surface where you are working.
Right, I see. So is that stuff transparent then?
There's also a transparent one where you can paint a completely picture on, and then go over it with an acrylic picture, and you go over it with a transparent
pastel ground.
And then you can paint on the in mixed media with acrylic together.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very cool effect. And the other one is a white one, which you can tint in any color you want with acrylic color.
Acrylic paints, Oh, that's very interesting. I didn't even know that kind of thing existed. So thank you for that.
There's some media, but not so much with pastels. This is more with white colors and so on. But the grounds are very useful.
No, that sounds good. Yeah. So do you recommend using fixative on the pastels or not using fixative? Because I know that some fixatives can change the colors of pastels.
Actually, all fixative will change the colors because you add binder. You have some kind of resin in each fixative because the way it works. And you are gluing the pigment particles to the underground. So they they change their behavior. They are completely different color now. They are something resin color. And they are deeper and darker and more brilliant and so on, and not so matte and not anything like a pastel anymore if you use enough of the fixative. So I recommend to fix between the layers, because working in many layers, which I know many people do, you paint two layers, then do a intermediate fixative layer on it, and then paint the next two or three layers and the same on, and always leave the last layer unfixed.
Right, to keep that vibrancy.
Support, good, but bounded, and you have no effect on your surface.
Right, okay.
Especially white colors on the surface. At last, most people do the lights as the last layer, and if you are going there into the white with a fixative, then it becomes a little more transparent. And if you are not so lucky, the white is gone then, and you are going again over this. So
yes, okay.
Not fix the last layer, but always between the layers.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. It's very helpful. Because I also like to mix pencil with pastel. So I normally use the pastel as a base layer. Mm-hmm. And then I color with pencil over the top. Mm-hmm. And I think that means that I don't necessarily need to fix it because the pastel is no longer on the surface.
Yes.
But yeah, sometimes I do fix it if it's still showing through a bit, and it does darken the colors. And now I understand why.
Yes, this is more intensive because of the binder you add.
Mm. Can you discuss with me some common mistakes that artists make when they're selecting or working with pastels, and then how we can avoid them?
One of them is the last layer fixing, which we had now. And was haben wir denn da gesagt? Oh, Fehler.
Oh. There are too many.
common mistakes is very, very difficult.
Oh, frequent asked.
Yes.
Questions.
Yeah, this is not a mistake, but often question. People are painting with hard pastel normally, and then got a box of our pastel and then paint like with a hard pastel, and they are writing an email, I made one layer and the paper is completely full. Oh, yeah. So you have to know your pastels. You have to try it a little bit if this is a new one, and they are not the same. Even like we said before, even if they are all soft pastel, they are not behaving the same way.
Right.
Our pastels are very willingly giving away their pigments. Sorry.
Yes.
This is not so with all the pastels. So many people can. Yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine they use too much pigment, too much color. Then they layer, and then you have chaos, and the pigment will not last on the surface. And
they're
used to it because our pastels leave so many pigments.
Yes.
A soft movement, you have the full pigment, and if you are not used to it, you can think, okay, what's that? I cannot work with it. So you
this
have
is,
to know.
This is not really a mistake, but it's
you have to get used to it.
So test it on your surface first.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's different on each surface. So if you one surface, then you can test it on this one you're always using, and then you will know how they behave.
Yes, okay.
Very easy to combine different things then. Not in your artwork, but before, and then it will be everything all right. So, and another one is many people are blending their colors. So you can, as we said before, you can't mix them on a palette or something like this.
Okay.
They're mixing always on the painting, and if there are many layers and no fixing between them, you are mixing all the pigments.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
But it will smudge.
After all, you get a gray painting. So this is not what you wanted before, and this is very carefully to handle. So this is often said, our pastel, they are giving many pigments to the underground, so it's even easier to get a smudged pigment picture if you are very
And if you rub too hard, you will mix all layers together.
All the layers,
engaged one and everything, and then it's gray after all. And this is also
okay. Yeah, so that's why fixing in between layers is important.
Yeah. Yes. Do we have anything else? I made some.
Another one.
Never blow on your pastel painting.
Okay.
I know that many people are doing this. I'm ready, and then
What's going to happen? What's going to happen?
Everything will be dusty after. So painting like this or on a table, and this is no problem. But if you are ready, then you go to a place where there is no problem, like a sink or something like this, or unempfindliche Oberfläche, irgendwas.
Yeah, if you can clean the surface afterwards
somewhere, and then you go and do like this, just this.
Just tap it gently.
Have the loose pigments falling down. And if you do this on a towel, then you can always use also the pigments that were falling down, because we can use the towel to.
So if you tapped it, say, over another piece of paper or something, then you can reuse that pigment, the excess pigment that comes off.
And you have your complete area and the air also. It's going into the air. So you will have it everywhere. So no fun. So
I would also like, I guess, the humidity of your breath and stuff change the pigment, I suppose.
This is also, But I think, this is also possible. But I think the main part will be your room after all.
The dust.
On an easel, then you can put a towel under the painting on this board where the painting is standing on, and then you have the same effect. Like then they will come down all the time. The pigments will come down, and then you have them behind the board. So this is awesome.
Yes. Okay. Fantastic.
Everything.
All the ones you can think on the top of your head. So what would you suggest is the best way to display or preserve like artworks in pastel, so they don't lose like color or detail over time?
The best way always is to have it behind glass. There's a special framing method. You have a passepartout right behind the glass, and a little space between the passepartout and the and there will always be a small amount of pigment coming off the picture.
Okay.
And it will go into the
small, into the gap.
Yeah, into the gap, so, but not onto the glass.
Not onto the glass. Yeah. Not between the glass and the passepartout and so on. And if you are cleaning the glass, you can't, it's a statische Aufladung. If you're going over a surface with a towel, you will always change the loading of the particles, so they will come to the glass. So if you have a space between the glass and the painting, this will not happen. So you can very easily the glass and so on, and everything's all right.
Yes, because you don't fix. You don't fix the last layer, so that will always be slightly loose, I suppose.
We're working on a canvas or something like this. This is not possible to have a glass on it. Mm-hmm. And then you have to fix it.
Okay.
There's no other way, because they will they will always come off, and there is always a little bit tremor at the wall and so on. And they will always come off pigment. So this is not possible without any fixation. Fixing.
Mm-hmm. yes. Without fixing. Yeah. No, that's very helpful. Do you have any tips for getting the best color payoff and blending? So if I wanted to create like a very bright blend of your pastels, what's your tip for doing that?
As less pigments as possible. So if you see, we have marked all the pigments. Das sieht man nicht. Okay, we have a very small.
I've got mine here.
there's all pigments are
indicated
on the paper. So yeah. There's
okay.
PB29 with the ultramarine and so on. And as the less pigments you use in a mix, the brighter the color will be.
Boundaries with colors. If you mix too many colors together, they will become gray, they will smudge. Yes. So if you use them as pure as possible, the result will the most brilliant.
So the most brilliant painting would be always the D part, the pure color, with just one layer. So
yes, okay,
binding all the pure colors together in at least one, max two layers, then you have no smudging and so on. With each pigment you put into your mixing, by mixing it with your finger on the painting or mixing them on the palette with a watercolor, you will darken and get the color grayer, the mixing. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. the brightest one is always the pure color.
Yes, okay.
Especially
that makes sense.
Especially with the pastels, because they are 400 shades. There are many colors with more than one pigment.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah.
Good.
That's why you have so many colors then to choose from, so you don't need to specifically blend them.
Yes. And this is also another advantage of the pastel ground or the colored paper and so on. You don't change the pureness of the pigment at once. So you have the first layer is not a pastel layer. So
okay,
and then you can spare your pastel and you can paint on it and have not so much influence on the brilliance of your painting.
Right, I see. So do you suggest like doing, like I say, an acrylic painting or a watercolor painting first, mm-hmm. and then put your pastel over the top?
This is possible, and this is also often made like this, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's very interesting, because I sort of do it the other way around, I suppose, because I guess I save my pencils and I use my pastels as the base layer and pencil over the top.
This is a different way, also a little bit like mixed media, but
yeah,
very familiar to each other. This is very near to each other for the pencil.
Mm-hmm. Yes, just so, in a different form, isn't it? Yeah,
but it's easier details and so on with a pencil, and so it's very often used hard form, any harder form of pastel with the soft pastels.
Mm-hmm.
This is a common combination.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, wonderful. So how would you suggest artists, because we talked about dust and things before, so how would you suggest artists like deal with the dust, or even like smudging on their artwork? Like, what would they do to rectify those things?
Yeah, if they are, normally it's useful to have a separate room to paint in, not mm-hmm. in your kitchen and not in your bedroom. And I also know that this is also common to do this.
Yes.
This is dusty and some kind of messy painting style. So you have to protect yourself and not to have too much dust in your surrounding and so on. There has to be a window in the room also. This is also important with any color, I think. And yes, what's noch? Ah, yeah. A fixing of the layers. Please don't do a fixing in house or without any
ventilation.
Yes, this is always with alcohol and so on, with thinner in it, like alcoholic ingredients, and this is not very healthy if you're doing this in an unventilated surround. Yeah. Pigment dust is very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
This is not easily going into your surrounding air, but you have it on all surface. So this is the difference between airbrush, for example. This will be in your surrounding air also. Then you are very it's very recommendable to use a mask. Then this is very heavy dust and very big particles. This is not an aerosol.
Okay, so you don't need to worry about breathing it in then.
You don't need to wear a mask, but you can do this. Mm-hmm. If you are working with very much pigment, very much color and very big sizes of the paintings and so on, it's you can wear this for protection. This won't do any harm, but it's not necessary. So, like we said before, don't blow
on the surface.
Yes.
Underneath your painting and so on, and then
clean your room.
Yeah, clean your hands after painting. This is very important.
Mm-hmm.
If you are eating, if you are drinking, don't do this in your working room. If you are smoking, also not in your working room.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is the recommendable behavior with all artist colors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful. So what's your advice for artists that are looking to push the boundaries of traditional pastel work?
Be creative. It's trying. It's with a pastel ground, you can go in new dimensions. Mm-hmm. If you want, you can paint on wood, on canvas. Try it out. The ground, for example, is verwandt. Familiar with the acrylic. This is nearly the same like acrylic painting. So it's very easy to combine with that acrylic and pastels, and also watercolor, if you want this to have the underground painted with aqua drop. This is a fluid watercolor, and you make some underground
paintings,
atmospheres, anyway,
these mixed media.
Yeah, and then you can paint on that.
Yeah, that's amazing. I definitely will try this pastel ground.
Sounds
really good.
If you are painting in just one layer, this is always possible with watercolor paper. So you can watercolor painting and then paint in it with the pastels, which is also really cool. And you can also paint the pastels. You can wash them with water and give them a kind of watercolor behavior.
So oh, really?
Yes. This is also combinable with gouache and watercolor on watercolor paper.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I've never actually tried that. That sounds really intriguing.
Yes.
So, yeah, no limits.
Yeah.
Try.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Try everything.
Try again. Different tools.
Yeah.
Using the tiny bits of pastels. You can also do your own pastels. If you have many of the small pieces, you can ground them in a.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is what we do every year with the remaining pastel dust. We make a random gray color, and this is what you can do also with the remainings, crush them. And
because this is just pigment.
Yeah.
So you can do pastel of it.
Yeah.
So if you have your rice glass and there are only very tiny small bits in it, and this is the blue one, and you want to say this is my random blue now. Yeah. You put all the pigment particles out of the glass, ground them, and then mix it with a little bit of water,
try them,
and make a form like you want it, round or chunky or something like this, and dry it, and then you can use it like a pastel again.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
You can
definitely will try that.
Colors.
Yeah, they're all air-tight, so you do not need any heater or something. So you only use remaining
with pigments. With your kitchen.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yes,
in the salon.
Yes, maybe in the artist room or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic! Oh, I'm so excited to try that now. So where can our listeners learn more about Schmincke and pastels, and where can they purchase them for themselves?
Yeah, this is my plan now. you can find us online. We have a brand new website, and on this website, there is also a part of pastels. There is a special part of all our ranges and series, but we have a big part of pastels and also the color chart, so you can choose your favorite colors. We have also a printed brochure, a little bit old school, but also brand new. Ooh. Right here you can see all the whole range.
All 400.
Pigment information, light fastness, and so on. So for the pastels, I recommend or the brochure or our website. This is Schmincke.de, and this is also in English, in German and in English. We have, of course, an Instagram account, Schmincke Official. You can find inspiration on it. And we have also a YouTube channel with videos, with clips. And I can recommend one clip. It is a little bit old school already. I had a look yesterday. It is already 7 years old. But no matter, our production process is the same. Only the people acting are a little bit older now. But the production process is the same. And there you can see how we produce the colors. The manufacturing process is crazy because they are all made by hand, and we show how it is done from the pigment dove to the forming by hand, from the cutting with a frame by hand, from the drying in our company, and then the labeling by hand. A colleague is always labeling the pastels by hand very carefully. So I recommend watching the film, because then you understand why the pastels are so soft and how many effort we put in producing them, and why we all love our pastels. And this is a certain thing when we do a factory tour here with our clients. They always say, okay, now I understand why they are so soft and so special. This is really interesting. And you find it on our YouTube channel, behind the scenes. You have to scroll a little bit how our soft pastels are made. I think this is very interesting.
Definitely.
Instagram we have. We also have a Facebook account. We're starting on TikTok. The brochures, anything else? No, I think this is where you can find us, where you get maybe some more inspiration and information on how we work here at Schmincke.
Best original card is the rag, the pastel rag itself, because pastel is always the pastels are laying like this in the rag
in the shop. And
this is the shop. This is the color you see, the color you get. There's no
yes.
When you touch them, just touch them.
There's no change. So this, you don't need a color chart then. So.
Maybe what is maybe interesting, if you are starting with pastels, of course you can go into the shop and choose your own choice, but maybe it is too much. When you see 400 different colors, this is maybe a bit crazy, and you do not know where to start, which color to start. And we also have these boxes, choices, 15 pastels, for example. You have 10, I suppose.
Yes.
Yeah, I have here 15 pastels. We also have 30 pastels, with 45 pastels, 60, 100, 200, and the biggest box, wooden box, with all 400. This is if you already tested them and you know I need them all. Yeah, but for beginners, I would recommend to buy a set with 15 pastels to try out. You see, okay, this is my technique. I can work with
them.
And then you can add or bigger sets or buy the individual sticks.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. So I think you can find us everywhere, and we sell our pastels around the world. Maybe this is also interesting. Niels already told us we sell into 70 countries all over the world. So pastels can be found nearly everywhere, and if not, they are also online available.
Yes. Oh, fantastic. Oh, I just love these pastels so much. They're so beautiful. And thank you so much for joining me. Right. It's been so interesting. I've learned so much about pastels, things I didn't even think about before.
Fine. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. We'll email you and let you know when the podcast is up.
Oh, this is very nice. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for your time, and have a wonderful day.
You too. You too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. If you've enjoyed listening, remember you can watch this podcast with video and no ads at learnmycraft.com, where you'll also find animal art practice journals, books, and tutorials to get you started. Hit subscribe and follow the podcast, and we'll see you next time.